Some of you may have noticed that I am in the midst of a multi-part sabbatical that seems to never end. Well, come September, I will be taking a road trip across the United States to reconnect with old friends, people I lost track of when I started down the path to priesthood. I'll be gone 6 weeks. Originally, it was supposed to be 2.5 months that I was gone. But William was worried about me being pulled over for a DWB, driving while brown. I'm Mexican-American, if you don't know. ICE goons are out there and might stop you and think you're illegal and deport you to one of their camps, he worried. Oh, come on, I would say. I was born in Chicago. I'm a citizen. And anyway, I'm not traveling in the South at all. But we compromised, and so it was down to 6 weeks instead of 11. Lorenzo Salgado Araujo was shot and killed by ICE agents in Houston early Tuesday morning, July 7th, while driving a van with three others on their way to work. The agents, driving unmarked cars and wearing no body cameras, mistakenly identified one of the passengers as someone they were looking for. They fired into the vehicle, killing Araujo. He was the father of three grown sons, all born here. The oldest said he wanted nothing else in life but to provide for his wife and see his sons become great people. Johann Sebastian Guerrero was shot and killed by ICE agents in Biddeford, Maine, early Monday morning, July 13th, while driving to work. He was 25 years old, had a three-year-old daughter, and worked multiple jobs at a veterinary clinic and as a food delivery driver to provide for his family. Again, there were no body cams on the ICE agents. They had been looking for someone else, not Guerrero. He was from Colombia and had authorization to work in the United States. When I had told William not to worry about my cross-country road trip, I did so under the assumption that somehow I would never be mistaken for an undocumented immigrant. Yet here are two men killed by ICE agents while sitting in their cars, both cases of mistaken identity. And when I promised William I would not venture into the South, little did I know that the very city in Maine where I am visiting my old friend Amy, Biddeford, would be the site of their latest murder. I don't want to tell William what I've just told you, because he will worry even more. We had discussed my driving with my clergy shirt on, but I told him, you know, that's cheating. It's giving in to fear and using my privilege just to be safer than others. I thought to myself, until every brown and black man, woman, and child is issued and gets to wear their own clergy shirt as protection in this country, I won't do it. Well, God forgive me, but I'm starting to reconsider that now. In the parable of the wheat and the weeds, the owner of the field instructs his servants to let both plants grow together until the harvest, because in uprooting the weeds, some wheat might also be destroyed. The weeds in question here are called bearded darnel, and they grew in first century Palestine. It was a pernicious plant, this bearded darnel. Its roots surrounded the roots of good plants, sucking up their nutrients and water and becoming so enmeshed with the wheat that you couldn't extricate them without harming all the crops. Above ground, these weeds looked very much like wheat until they matured and showed their seed. So it makes perfect sense that the master of the field would let wheat and weeds grow together until harvest time. So I'm just going to save us a little time here and give you the moral of the story up front. Today's parable has a two-part message. One, don't be so quick to judge others. Don't weed out or completely discount the people in your midst that you perceive as bad or evil, because you cannot see their roots, what's below the surface. Two, you cannot know whether someone who appears to be a weed might not actually be wheat in the making. You can't always tell their true nature from their appearance. Our judgment is imperfect, and we risk condemning those who today may be weeds, but one day might bear fruit. Jesus says, wait until the harvest, the end of the age, and let God uproot and cast out the evil. And today's psalm proclaims, God searches us out and knows us from our sitting down to our rising up, and God alone can judge. Well, that's all true, we believe. But I have to say, it's also true that we cannot be expected to just sit idly by while weeds do their damage to the crops. For the sake of brevity, I'm just going to call ICE agents and those whom they represent white supremacists, though I know that some of them are only abducting, deporting, and killing brown people because they need a job, and this one pays well. I suspect that the description I gave earlier of bearded Darnell is one that white supremacists may have of undocumented immigrants and of people of color in general. They've surrounded us good white people at the roots, and they're sucking up all our resources. Their roots are becoming enmeshed with ours, even intermarrying. So we've got to pull them out now. And so they have. In Maine, this past January, ICE launched Operation Catch of the Day, a name honoring the state's lobster and seafood industry. These days, our entire country's efforts are catching and trapping up to 2,000 people per day. Not a bad haul for our fellow American white supremacists. Add to that their attempts to keep black people from voting in the midterms and demoting and blocking blacks and women serving in the military from promotion, and it would seem that our government is on what they perceive to be a weeding frenzy. At the risk of being judgmental myself, I wish these folks would stop their weed pulling a moment and take a look at the bearded Darnell in the mirror. Or look down and see that their selfish protection of their own roots is choking the life out of this nation and its resources. And at the risk of sounding overly sentimental, I wish some of these folks could meet Marcelino, a man I know who works 18 hours, 6 days a week, from 3 a.m. to 9 p.m. at two San Mateo restaurants I frequent. Or that they could have the interactions I have had with Victor over the past 3 days, who has been diligently working to level the bricks throughout our courtyard and our garden outside. Or Joel, who came to see me in tears last week because of some crises he is having in his life, and came to see me because he stops almost every day early in the morning to pray in our memorial garden at the Jesus statue on his way to work. And so he felt at home here. And I wish they could have attended Camila's quinceañera yesterday, that they could have seen the joy on her face here in church, or the exuberance with which she and her attendants performed choreographed dances to Bad Bunny songs at the fiesta afterwards, at the fancy golf clubhouse where her parents work, celebrating what felt like the culmination of all the Nava family has been through in their 8-year journey as refugees from Venezuela. Maybe then these folks would reconsider who is wheat and who is weed. Now, I know that there are undocumented immigrants out there who are bad actors, as our president once put it. And I know that there are compassionate ICE agents, though I have yet to hear any stories of one, who truly believe they are helping sort out the immigration problem we have in the United States. Many of them receive inadequate training, and some suffer from their own past histories of violence. I realize that I'm not practicing what I preach when I judge governmental officials and others based on their outward appearance, what I see, frankly, as evil actions on their part. But maybe unlike the message of today's parable, I believe we cannot just sit by and watch the wickedness of some who would mow down people who are simply trying to live their lives, raise a family, and have some semblance of stability and security here. especially when it's our own government doing the mowing, the weeding, and the destroying. Today's parable sets up a duality between wheat and weed, good and evil, us and them, saved and damned. But then it tells us that the bad has to grow up alongside the good. And so we're called to live in that tension these dualities bring. As much as we, myself included, would like to act as if the world is us and them, the parable this morning reminds us that there is only we. So I guess we keep on protesting, voting, advocating, and speaking out against the injustices we witness in our nation and in our world. Wheat and weeds have always grown up alongside each other. This is just the latest iteration. We must not let them choke us into giving up. I read a quote this morning in an article about how welcoming Americans have been to foreign World Cup fans, and how people are returning to their homeland with stories of the great hospitality they received here. One man noted, "If you want to experience the worst of America, turn on the television. If you want to experience the best of America, drive across it." Maybe my road trip will prove healing in more ways than one. When I was a child and had stomach aches, my mother would make me a tea from a weed called yerba buena, good herb. Though it was a weed, it was used for healing. Today's parable asks us not to judge others or ourselves as good or bad, for we do not see from God's perspective. So then our hope at the end of the age is that we will not be punished in a furnace of fire, but that God will separate out the weeds in each and every one of us, bundling and tossing them into the fire in our stead, cleansing and forgiving us, and making us whole and able to enter into the kingdom of heaven, a harvest of wheat for all eternity. Amen.